Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
This is much more fun.
What, the Midwest?
No, the radio. Hanging out with you, Dan, from 10 to 2 every day.
On Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Heinrich, good defense. Lead pass.
Stop it! They not do him like that! What are you doing, Dragons? Did you not get the memo? Derek Bowles can go upstairs.
Indeed, and Derek Rose will be celebrated on January 4th. The Bulls have announced that their game against the Knicks at the United Center will be Derrick Rose night. They announced this yesterday. And I saw this, and there had been some rumor that, oh, maybe they're retiring his number. And I feel very strongly that he is nowhere near deserving of that. He's not even on the radar for deserving of that. Ahead of many, many, many other Bulls who are much more valuable. Now, this, what they're doing is perfect.
I'm going to let you finish.
What they're doing is absolutely perfect. It'll be a celebration of his retirement from the NBA, his memorable career, and his contributions to the Bulls and the city of Chicago. Special moments throughout the game, recognizing Derek, his family, his teammates. There's going to be T-shirts, and there's going to be the Derrick Rose Atrium experience that they got all sponsored out with memorabilia, like kind of a museum exhibit. And they'll be, fans will have the opportunities to walk away with a memorable themed item, courtesy of Adidas. And all fans will get a commemorative Derrick Rose themed T-shirt. And then starting at 5 p.m. on January 4th, fans can purchase exclusive themed retail items. Okay, so the Bulls get to make a little money, and they get to honor Derrick Rose as he retires from basketball. Great.
They are going to retire his jersey at some point. Well, so I guess if there's a brief.
Why do you say that?
Because he's one of the greatest players in franchise history.
No, he's not.
That's why?
No, he's not.
And that's what they do.
He's not.
With those who are amongst the great players in franchise history.
He's not. He's one of the most famous. He had one of the best years.
He is one of the most celebrated players in franchise history. Accomplished and awarded players in franchise history.
That's not how this works. To retire ones, do you know which Bulls have their jerseys retired?
Not all of them. No.
There's four.
Okay.
Can you name all four?
So Jordan,
correct.
Let's see who else would it be? Because I guess it wouldn't be Scotty.
Scotty,
okay, Scotty is there. All right,
Jordan, Pippen.
Who else would it be? Not Jerry Sloan.
Jerry Sloan.
Okay,
and one more. Only one other Bulls player.
I'm probably underappreciating the extended excellence of Jerry Sloan by questioning that
Hall of Famer Jerry Sloan. Yes.
Yeah.
And the other is the recently deceased Bob Love.
Oh, okay. All right.
That's it. Sloan, Love, Jordan, Pippen. And that's it.
And D. Rose is nowhere near any of those guys.
Nope. Not, and he's certainly well behind many of his own teammates as far as value to the Bulls. And the thing about retiring a number, it is a body of work award. It is for your overall body of work, of what you've done for the franchise and what you've achieved for the franchise. It's at least the way the Bulls have set up what it means. It is an incredibly high honor. And the list of people who are more deserving of that honor ahead of Derrick Rose is a long one.
A long one.
Yes.
Even amongst his teammates who he played with here in Chicago.
Chet Walker's jersey isn't retired. Artis Gilmore's jersey isn't retired.
How many, and this is the most simplistic version, of how many MVPs did either of them win?
Artis Gilmore? Well, he was I can check, but that was one great season.
Yes, that was surrounded by other great seasons. That was his greatest individual season.
It was other good seasons. I don't think people realize what some other Bulls have done. I really don't. I think this is a short memory or recency bias.
So is your case that Derrick Rose wasn't excellent, or is your case that other Bulls were also excellent who should also be honored?
My case is, by the Bulls standard, he's not even close. If Sloan, Love, Jordan, and Pippen to this point, with other Hall of Famers whose jerseys have not been retired by the Bulls, and we can use any metric you want, if you want to go by the actual accomplishments or however you measure the statistical accomplishments of players. I think the way they are doing this, the way they're choosing to do this is a great idea. Is an outstanding way
It's the first of what will be several steps to repeatedly honor Derrick Rose. This is not going
honor a lot of people then. Because then there's an incredible injustice here. Just going by win shares, just overall contribution to winning as a Bull. Here's your list. Michael Jordan is at 204.5. Scottie Pippen at 99.7. Hall of Famer Chet Walker, 67. Does not have his number retired. Artis Gilmore, 66.5. Does not have his number retired. This is how much they contributed to winning as a Bull. Horace Grant, 62.4. Luol Deng, 58.4. Joakim Noah, 57.3. Jimmy Butler, 49.3. Bob Love, 48.2. Jerry Sloan, 48.1. And it cuts off at 10. But I looked at some other names. Kirk Heinrich is at 47.6. Taj Gibson is at 36.8. Derrick Rose is at 31.4.
And how much of that is negated by the limited length of his Bulls career?
That's part of it, though. That's part of greatness. Longevity, durability is part of greatness. Greatness is rewarded.
I don't disagree that that's part of greatness.
So
there are limits to how high his stature should be with the Bulls by comparison to guys who were here and elite for longer. But I think it goes too far to say his jersey won't end up or shouldn't end up in the rafters. Because there was, what was it? Let's call it a 5-year stretch where he was one of the most dangerous players in the NBA. He won an MVP. He repeatedly led the team deep into the playoffs. He was, you know, all NBA and Rookie of the Year and All-Star on a perennial basis.
Chet Walker's a 7-time Bulls All-Star.
So if your case
barely
is
missed
Chet Walker,
game.
If your case is Chet Walker's jersey should also be up in the rafters.
No, but that's not my case. My case is their standards. I mean, good Lord, man. You start looking at Artis Gilmore was an ABA MVP, second in vote, and then he was a multiple-time NBA All-Star. His career with the Bulls was the peak of his games. NBA, he retired as the all-time NBA leader in field goal percentage. Artis Gilmore is a Hall of Famer, all-time great. His number should be retired before Derrick Rose as a Bull. Mm. I mean, it's just... It's not even close. I understand people love Derrick Rose.
Why do they love him?
Because people of a certain age were enthralled by him in the post-Jordan era. He was really the first post-Jordan player that felt transcendent and felt special. It was more than Ben Gordon. It was more than Kirk Heinrich. It was more than that. It was the first player that gave people that sense of, oh, hey, you know, he won the MVP. And that's great. And people love him. And they should. And they should go to this night and they should love him.
But this, he should not be hailed as one of the all-time great Bulls.
He does not rise to that. His achievements as a Bull are well down the list. If you retire Derrick Rose's number for what he did as a Bull, Jimmy Butler's got a beef. Luol Deng's
got... I mean, the franchise has a beef with Jimmy Butler, too. No, but you want to make a Jimmy Butler case? Make a Jimmy Butler case, too.
Jimmy Butler was a more valuable Bull.
Jimmy Butler was a better basketball player, a better all-around basketball player than Derrick Rose. But the hype of Jimmy Butler
Bull.
A more accomplished in what way? Jimmy Butler was never an MVP. Jimmy Butler was never a multi-time All-Star during his time with the Bulls.
Jimmy Butler was responsible for more win shares by a mile than Derrick Rose. He was more valuable. He did more to help them win. And so did
the
win
shares metric argument it's not a blasphemous argument to make. But my point is, it doesn't negate how Derrick Rose was hailed in the NBA.
You can hail him all you want. He was
fans
famous.
Didn't vote for NBA MVP.
And they don't.
The media and his peers did.
That's fine. And you know how that gets rewarded? That gets rewarded by his $400 million Adidas deal and everything else that he got. It is not rewarded by retiring one's number for this team.
But he did that as a member of the Chicago Bulls.
But you don't retire numbers for hype. You don't retire numbers
MVP
for brief
excitement.
MVP is not
a hype award, Dad. MVP is not a hype award. It's for his individual excellence and the team accomplishments surrounding him. Like, if Derrick Rose was even a guy who was like, you know what? His individual numbers are amazing and the team was losing. That'd be one thing. The team was winning a lot while he was at the height of his powers.
He's a local kid and people love him because he's from here. And that's great.
But that's why he won MVP of the National Basketball Association.
But not every MVP. Does every MVP have their number retired by the team on which they won MVP?
I don't know. We know everyone's in the Hall of Fame, right?
Right. Rose won't be.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
But it's the same as the Sammy Sosa thing. Like, Sammy Sosa not being in the Cubs Hall of Fame as a first ballot guy.
Well,
that, to me, is silly.
No,
not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame as a first ballot guy. Okay, from a broader perspective, I understand that there's a deep amount of gatekeeping with that.
Well, that's also
but
very
the,
different.
The gatekeeping for, like, a jersey going into the rafters for the Bulls, that to me is silly.
I think he
was the youngest MVP in NBA history. He was on the all-rookie team. He was rookie of the year. Repeatedly led the team deep into the playoffs until he tore his knee up. I don't think there's much question. Derrick Rose's jersey is going to be in the rafters at the UC at some point.
I think
this is just the first of several steps.
That's a miscarriage of justice. It is immensely unfair to numerous players ahead of him on the list who deserve to have their jerseys retired. And I think it is provincial bias. I think it's recency bias, and I think he's got a certain vociferous subset of fans that is unaware of
that Bulls. Had their eyes open during his time with the Bulls and were observing him play basketball.
Unaware of Bulls history and unaware of NBA history.
But I think you're pitting the two cases against each other. Case for D. Rose is not a case against Artis Gilmore, and I feel like that's how you're presenting it.
Then
you're the one making case against D. Rose.
I'm using the Bulls standard. The fact that Chet Walker's number hasn't been tells you that Derrick Rose's shouldn't be. There is no argument that says if Chet Walker doesn't rise to the standard, if Artis Gilmore doesn't rise to the standard, then Derrick Rose certainly doesn't rise to the standard.
I have more Artis Gilmore knowledge than Chet Walker knowledge. I'm not old enough to have really witnessed either one of them. But
Horace Grant, my God, Horace Grant.
Are you about to say Horace Grant's jersey should be retired
Hell
before Derrick
yes.
Rose?
Hell yes, it should. Hell yes, it should. And if you stay, don't tell me Horace Grant wasn't a much, much greater, more accomplished basketball player.
Horace Grant was not a much, much greater or accomplished basketball player than Derrick Rose.
A more important bull?
Like, put John Paxson's jersey up there. Put Bill Cartwright's jersey up there, too.
See, now you're making my case.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Your case seems to be centered around the idea that the guys who were just with the team longer deserve to be there over D. Rose, which doesn't make sense.
Not necessarily with the team longer.
Because there's a sliding scale here. How excellent, how elite were you during what? Sure, if we're going to call that a finite amount of time. And I mean, he was with the team for longer, but as far as at the height of his powers with his full health being on the court, what we call like a five-year span or something like that. So during that five-year run where he was amongst the elite playmakers in the NBA, one of the most explosive talents in the entire sport, one of the most that we had ever seen, and the individual accolades went with it. You also had the team success alongside of it, and him being the lead within that, him being the guy at the top of every opposing scouting report during that run of excellence that the Bulls embarked on while he was their point guard. Horace Grant was never at the top of anyone's scouting report. Bill Cartwright was never at the top of anyone's scouting report.
How many All-Star teams do you think Derrick Rose made?
I mean, at least three, probably four.
Three. You want to go through the list of Bulls' three-time All-Stars? It's a long list.
I'm sure it is, for guys who played healthier for longer than
you. Yeah, but health is part of greatness.
It's part of it, yes. But you're using
it as the sole discriminator
against D. Rose's excellence.
It sucks. It sucks that it kept him from being great. I'm not arguing that he wouldn't have been great, but he wasn't.
Was he great during that 4 or 5 year span?
There's a lot of guys who are great during a 4 or 5 year span. He wasn't as great as some other guys. I'm just saying that health matters. And we always talk about the NBA. You're always defined by how good you are after that first injury. You say that about any young player. Any young player. What do they come back? How do they look after that first serious injury? And that's what defines you as a pro. That somebody who can recover. And he just never was the same. And it's too bad.
Well, I agree with that. If he never dribbled another basketball after that first 5 years with the Bulls, if that first 5 years went exactly the same, his jersey's going to end up in the rafters at some point, like it will.
But it doesn't make any sense.
This is just them milking it. Here's the first night we're going to honor D. Rose. Come back next year and we hang his jersey in the rafters. Come back the year after that and we build him a statue.
When he came back, those last 3 years were ridiculously ordinary. He wasn't a great player.
I agree.
When he came back.
And he was never a great player again. He got back to above average during a little bit of that time with the Knicks.
With the Knicks, but from 2013 to 2016, he was an NBA guy.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And the first 5 years. And he was accruing win shares in there. First 4 years. He had 4 years where he looked like an ascending potential superstar.
What year was the injury? Because he came into the league, what, 08, 09?
He got injured in the playoffs in 2012 against Philadelphia. And he didn't play in all of 2012, 2013. Then he came back in 2013, 2014. He played in only 10 games, averaged 15.9. In 2014, 2015, he averaged 17.7 points, shot 40% from the field, 28% from three. In 2015, 2016, he averaged 16 points in 66 games and shot 29% from three. Okay.
Derrick Rose, bad three-point shooter, but amazing basketball player for that first handful of years in the league.
Yeah, for the first 4 years, he was great. I do think he could have been great if healthy, but he wasn't healthy. And he's... You got me out here slandering Horace Grant.
Horace was one of my nicknames. I had the Rex Specs and everything
Bull.
In high school basketball.
But you try to make the case that Horace Grant's jersey to go up before D. Rose is absolutely ridiculous. I think people are forgetting Horace Grant.
Trust me, I am not forgetting Horace Grant, but I know Horace Grant was the third or fourth best player on the Chicago Bulls. So that guy doesn't get his jersey in the rafters.
Let me ask, what do you think his Bulls career averages were?
I'm going to say...
Just points. Just give me, what do you think? What do you think Horace Grant averaged points per game in 406 Bulls regular season games?
I guess he averaged like 17 points, 9 boards.
Yeah, he averaged 19.7 points.
Okay.
Which I think is more than people expect. No, excuse me. Hold on. Wait. Sorry. I looked at the wrong page. I got that wrong. I was wrong. He averaged 8.6 rebounds. I had the wrong thing highlighted.
Okay.
In 17 total years, he spent 7 with the Bulls, and he averaged 13 points and 8.6 rebounds, 2.4 assists, while shooting 53% from the floor. and being a defensive player of the year. He was an all-star in 94 and was a defensive player of the year candidate in four of them.
Oh, I was going to say, Horace didn't win a defensive player of the year.
No, he didn't win a DPOY. He'd win a DPOY, but he got votes as defensive player of the year in four of those years, and I believe made...
Yeah, there was too many great power forwards and centers for Horace to win a defensive player of the year.
Yeah.
An excellent basketball player. A great piece in three championships that he won with the Bulls.
Four-time Horace champion.
The idea that his jersey would go up before D. Rose is ludicrous.
He was a four-time...
Where's Chris when we need him?
Four-time NBA All-Defense second team.
And again, I'm a Horace Grant guy through and through. One of the many nicknames I've had in years past was Horace. When I had my rec specs on at Bolingbrook High School and I was rebounding and defending and yelling every time I blocked a shot into the stands, I was thinking Horace Grant every step of the way. But Horace Grant over D. Rose is just
he was a more valuable
illogical.
He was a more valuable Bull. He wasn't as famous. He didn't have as great a peak as Rose had.
How could he possibly be a more valuable Bull on a team that had Michael Jordan sucking up the majority of the value and then Scottie Pippen sucking up a lion's share of the remaining value there, and then everybody else kind of ancillary pieces? And Horace Grant is at the peak of those ancillary pieces with the Bulls.
Because there isn't
but
a
overall
finite,
value to the organization.
It's not a pie.
Greatly pales in comparison.
There isn't a finite amount of value.
It is a pie, because if there's five guys on the court, there's one guy who's the most valuable of those five dudes on the court.
Uh-huh.
Everybody else is less valuable than them in that given time. So the value that D. Rose had to the Bulls during his career
is very different
than the value Horace Grant had to the Bulls during his career.
But Horace Grant was valuable for champions.
Okay, so if D. Rose was the point guard on those Bulls teams, they wouldn't have won anything?
They didn't. As soon as he reached the peak of his powers, LeBron James kicked his ass.
Let's make sure Luke Longley ends up in the Raptors at the United Center as well.
If you want to go down that road, at the peak of Derrick Rose's powers, LeBron James walked into that room and kicked his ass.
Because LeBron James might be the greatest basketball player of all time.
And that's how it works. And that is the cruelty of basketball.
so that should Charles Barkley not be in the Basketball Hall of Fame?
No, that's, I'm not talking about the Hall of Fame.
Or Reggie Miller because they couldn't take it.
But you're comparing
him with a player who's greater.
You're saying that Derrick Rose would have won championships. I'm not saying Derrick Rose would have needed a lot of help to win championships.
The fact that a greater player existed does not eliminate him from the discussion of greatness.
I'm not saying he wouldn't have been great. He doesn't deserve to have his jersey retired by the Bulls.
But Horace Grant does?
Yes. If you're going down that road, the Bulls, what I appreciate is the Bulls get it. The Bulls understand. We're not talking about Hall of Fame.
Trust me,
we're
the Bulls
not
don't
talking
get
about
it. His jersey's going up in the years to come.
Well, we'll see who's in charge of the Bulls. But
I
don't mind them marketing off of this, because there's all of the Derrick Rose people are going to spend a lot of money on a lot of cheap crap. And they're going to make a lot of money off this, because Derrick Rose has a lot of fans with still enough disposable income to go buy a lot of stuff. And
how many franchises have NBA MVPs?
We did this as a trivia question of how many, which franchises do not have an MVP. A lot do.
It's a significant honor for an organization to have
That's
your
great.
Best player win
give,
that
him a, give him a laurel and a hearty handshake. It's not enough to retire your number.
They're going to retire his number.
If they do, I'm just saying, I'm not arguing will they or won't they eventually. If they do, it's an immense injustice to a lot of other people who are far more deserving.
They should do Artis next after D. Rose.
Hell
D. Rose
yeah. Be the next they should do it for Artis, because Artis is 76 or whatever he is.
You know what? Artis can jump him in line, but they're going to retire D. Rose's number two.
They may, if it's going to make them money. This segment is brought to you by Horwitz, Horwitz & Associates, fighting for the injured for 100 years.
Got me out here slamming Horace Grant.
I didn't see you slamming Horace Grant. When we return, this was, I think, a good idea on your part to name, while we're naming things and bestowing honors, most encouraging bear of the year, most disappointing bear of the year.
Dan Bernstein, Marshall Harris, The Bernstein and Harris Show. Middays 10 till 2 on 670 The Score.
From the 45, Williams, another nice throw. Keenan Allen, touchdown. Back-to-back outstanding throws by Caleb Williams. Hits Allen, 45 yards, another Bears TD.
This ended up being a more difficult assignment than I thought, Anthony Herron. By the way, Anthony Herron is in for Marshall Harris on the Bernstein and Harris show. I thought when you brought
I'm
this
curious
up,
which end of this is more difficult for you?
Well, see, the question is, do I go with what I immediately thought, or do I Bernstein it and overthink it?
Mm. The answer is yes.
Which one? Both.
Both.
No, I. So did you have a definition for how most disappointing and or most encouraging?
So fair question. The most encouraging Bear from this season. The idea here is, you know, we're at the end of the year and, you know, people tend to sort of take stock of things. I think I was talking with either you and Layla or you and Marshall last week, just with about the idea that this roster, kind of the guys at the middle of the roster, the bottom of the roster, there is a lot of evaluation that the last few weeks of this season matter to that, because 2025 and the season to come for the Bears, you do want some of those players that are here to emerge as contributors. And then just kind of thinking through that, it was like, well, all right, are those guys apparent? If they are, you know, whether it's the guys at the top of the roster or the bottom, who's really performed at a level that we feel like in the seasons to come, the Bears should be very encouraged about. Like, it's one thing to pay big money for somebody that does okay, but by definition, at least the way I'm viewing it, I wouldn't necessarily call Montez Sweat the most encouraging Bears. He's one of their better players, sure, but his value right now to the franchise, what he's being, you know, compensated at, I don't view him as what I would define as the most encouraging of the Bears this year. To me, it's about in the seasons to come, who are you excited about, what they have done this year that makes you excited for what the future holds for them with the Bears.
Wow.
That's how I would define most encouraging.
Okay. Well, here's what's amazing. Guess who I wrote down as the most discouraging?
Who you got?
Montez Sweat.
Oh. Yeah. That's a reasonable way to view the season.
That was my together. That's unbelievable. Like I wrote it down. Like, if you can see on the camera, for my most encouraging, I wrote Caleb.
Okay.
Because it's Caleb Williams. And he's the quarterback, and the whole reason for hope is that he can still be great.
Now, despite some of the obvious inconsistencies
in his
performance.
I'm cool. He was bad last week. We'll talk to Tim Jenkins about that. But still, it's still Caleb. He just has this outsized significance. And then I was thinking about discouraging, and I thought Tevin Jenkins would be on there just because of, like, availability and you know, not being his lack of reliability. But it's Montez Sweat to me because of the contract. And because this was a year of his prime. You traded for him. You extended him. And now you were supposed to be winning this year because of him. And he might not have been bad, but how do I know going into the next couple of years that sort of defined the championship window, he was supposed to be a lot more impactful.
And he hasn't been. And yes, he was banged up throughout most of the season in general. After he got past the halfway point, he, at least to my eye, looked like he was starting to move better. And he was harassing the quarterback a decent bit. And sometimes when you have a great group pass rush, then that can lead to individual players getting more sack numbers. And, you know, for a lot of games, Montez Sweat was the only guy sniffing the quarterback, let alone actually hitting him. So there's some explainable reasons for why his numbers were even lower this year than they had been. But as far as being, you know, discouraged by what you saw from Montez Sweat this season, I wouldn't make a strong case against it. I do think there are certain guys that, you know, might fall into this category where I would more strongly try to defend what we saw from them this year. But, you know, Montez Sweat, for what he's gotten paid now, how he's been compensated, the expectation there, my expectations personally were still a bit muted, just taking his full career into context. And what we saw the second half of last season was not what we've seen the majority of Montez Sweat time in the National Football League. So to kind of ramp up toward being amongst the one percenters as pass rushers in football, you normally see that a little earlier in someone's career. So I don't anticipate seeing that moving forward from Montez. Like, Khalil Mack stepped onto the field in the National Football League looking like a shop wrecker. Montez Sweat, stepped on the field looking like a guy who is an above-average defensive end that has certain games where he splashes more than others, but not a consistent week-in and week-out guy who just shows up stuffing the stats.
So it's my fault, is what you're saying. So the level of discouragement is on me. I shouldn't be that discouraged because I expected too much of him.
Well, you could say it's Ryan Poles' fault, even more than yours.
As far as my selection of him in this case, that would be my fault. So,
sure.
All right, who are yours?
So my most encouraging is a player that I was hopeful for who's banged up a lot last season, but we saw a healthier version of him this year. And he's a player who doesn't consistently stuff the stat sheet, but just fills this really nuanced role for the Bears defense, and it's Kyler Gordon. Because what he showcases at the second level, at the third level, sometimes at the line of scrimmage, the most consistently impactful blitzer mm-hmm. that they have is Kyler Gordon. What he does in covering the slot, he has at times in his career when they've been banged up outside at corner, been tasked with doing that as well. Didn't have to do it as much this year because you got Jalen Johnson and Tyreek Stevenson and Terrell Smith. He got enough outside corners, and Kyler Gordon has really learned and refined his ability to continue to play that nickel, that slot. And he's not just consistently a cover guy in that role. He's physical enough to support the run. He's got enough anticipatory skills of the snap count and enough maneuverability as a pass rusher where he's really impactful in that regard. And then also, yes, why he gets drafted to the National Football League is his ability to cover. And he shows he can do that also, both in the slot and outside. So I've been really encouraged what we've seen this season from Kyler Gordon. And yeah, I don't know contractually whether or not there's going to be like an eagerness or a desire to get something done. I would imagine his representatives have approached the Bears about something. Does Ryan Poles have a bunch of other stuff on his plate not looking to lock that down yet?
What does the future of Jaquan Brisker hold as far as, is he going to play ever again? And what does that mean when they start looking at how much they pay certain positions?
That's a fair concern. Even beyond question, a fair concern. My complete guesswork is that it got to a point this season where, you know, they just decided that caution was better than the opposite in a lost season. So no point in kind of forcing Jaquan Brisker back into the lineup. So next year will likely end up being kind of a prove it season for Brisker. You know, almost, you know, he hasn't had the severity and the frequency that rivals Tua, but he's had several concussions and he plays a position that is going to be even more difficult to avoid being concussed than Tua, where he's looking for impact. He is bringing the violence is Jaquan Brisker. So, you know, how long will his NFL career continue? That's obviously, you know, a story to be written later. But I do think he's going to be back on the field. That's just complete guesswork. But his passion for the game, his personality, he hasn't gotten that second deal yet. I think there's a bunch of extenuating circumstances where we're going to see Jaquan Brisker again and just kind of hope for the best for what that means. But for Kyler Gordon, where Jalen Johnson's already gotten paid, you know, Kyler Gordon's kind of the next guy in line there. And I do wonder how he'll be measured against the other nickel kind of slot defenders in football. Because, I mean, he's a really impactful guy. And I'm encouraged by what I see there. And I do think it'd be a big loss if they didn't find a way to get him locked up. On the discouraging end of it, this is one I do kind of blame myself for in a similar fashion to your expectations mm-hmm. with Montez Sweat. I had high hopes for Nate Davis. Wow. And he's not even with the Bears anymore.
That's
but,
a big admission, actually. But
yeah.
Because we forget, actually, that we were excited when they signed him.
And I defended him for a little while. And part of that was just through the lens of thinking, if he's not practicing, and all these people are giving him a hard time about not practicing, and last season he's got the death in the family and everything else, and, you know, like, okay, well, yeah, we see him standing on the sideline sometimes. Last year there was the death, and then he ended up playing, and once he got into shape, played okay last year. And then this year he's out of the lineup again. And in my mind, I'm just thinking, in this most pivotal of seasons for Matt Eberflus, there's no way he's just watching Nate Davis stand around for no reason. Like that again, I'm pro logic. So me, through my logical brain, is just thinking they wouldn't just be watching him stand there if there wasn't something legitimately wrong with Nate Davis. And then, you know, more and more the reporting about, yeah, here's what he's like in Nashville. Here's what he's been like with the Bears. Okay, apparently they're just kind of watching him stand around. But that didn't really occur to me as a legitimate possibility that they were just kind of watching Nate Davis stand around.
And no, Tory Taylor does not count as encouraging. He's a punter. We have
High Noon coming up, and this is an annual story that I do. Usually it's my last, whatever my last day is before the new year. And this comes from when the folks at the Defector, the former Deadspin, put together data from the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission's database of emergency room visits. So if you know what we've done in the past, you know the list I'm about to bring you. Data from a year's worth of emergency room visits, what items were improperly placed in a cavity? What items needed to be removed? That's next.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
Time for High Noon. Your last High Noon of 2024. My goodness, you better enjoy it. We talked a lot about the future of Ryan Poles and what could be in the offing as the Bears begin what will certainly be a failed search for a head coach. Carmen Vitale's words came back from yesterday about how bad does Ryan Poles want this job now that it's changed so much since he took it. We played what Brad Biggs said about a possible Poles extension. We argued about Derrick Rose. I'm complimenting the Bulls for not retiring his number and having on the fourth, having a big Derrick Rose night, which I think they've handled deftly to say, hey, hooray, Derrick Rose. And everybody who wants to come out and say, hooray. Anthony thinks it's just the first step toward eventually making the terrible mistake of retiring his number. We also discussed our most disappointing and encouraging Chicago Bears.
It's high noon.
All right, I have to tread lightly, as I do each year. But this is thanks to Barry Pachetsky, who takes a great deal of pleasure in publishing this each year with actual x-rays of these things. Often, that this is the 12th year that they've run this series, and this is the weirdest things that have entered America's orifices. I'm going to skip two of the orifices.
Oh boy.
And get to the one that all of us as human beings have in common. Because two of the orifices, we do not. And this one, they say they're like elbows.
The mouth.
They're like opinions and all this stuff. Yes. No, it's not the mouth. It's not the mouth.
Not the mouth. Not the mouth.
So here is the list of things that got stuck in a dark place officially from emergency room data. Xylophone mallet, foam ball, patient states that he and his wife got carried away, portion of a plastic screwdriver handle, 12-inch ratchet extender, comma, doesn't know why, in quotes, cylindrical wooden block, can of cooking spray.
Huh? Is Pam up there?
Pam! Pam! Get out of there, Pam! Pam, we talked about this.
I mean, the spray itself is one thing, but the can of Pam?
Pam! Come on, Pam! I used my safe word, Pam. Shampoo bottle. Can of lotion. Can of deodorant.
The can's here, man.
This is my... Broomstick. This says, shoved a bag containing 20 hydroxyzine pills there for, quote, street cred.
Not distribution, but just credibility.
Hey, what do you think, guys? Do I get my new nickname now? Oh, sadly, you do. Wait, hold on. We're just getting started. Three AAA batteries. I mean, if that's what it takes, whatever it says in the specifications.
Just right? To power you up right, correctly.
Right, sure. Two AA batteries is another instance, and one D battery.
D, Mickey Finkie, D.
D, Mamma Jamma. A 50-cent piece, sort of quaint. A scrub brush. Plastic baby bottle. Two plastic bottles and a shot glass. I'll get another one up there. That's not enough.
Tale of Toy Dinosaur. Patient states he tripped in the shower and fell backwards, landed on a shampoo bottle.
Oh, yeah. Sure he did.
Of course you did.
Happens to the best of us.
As one does. Patient states slipped and fell in the bathtub, landing on a toy shark. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
Bathtub shark doo-doo.
Rectum shark doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Cigarette lighter toothbrush holder. Light bulb, comma, broken.
Wasn't that in like a Mike Myers movie at one point?
Right. I have an idea. Right. How do you know? Trust me, I know. Oh, you better believe I have an idea. It's a good idea. Bottle of GHB, board game piece, metal toilet paper holder, motorized tire pump. Marbles, darts, plastic lemon, fake banana.
A fake one? Why a fake one?
Right. Go, what are you doing here? Right. Aren't you all natural?
You're going to do it. Commit to the bit.
A Jell-O mold. And the last one, it just says, patient reports, I just got married. And he presented with a sex toy that was lodged there. So what if you just got? So you just got married? Like that's how you celebrate?
Hey,
just married know. Sign in there.
But, to each.
So who's
their own? Who's, I guess
I'm not sure our winner is. I think it's either it may be bathtub shark.
It's Colonel Mustard in the rectum with
all kinds of with a can of Pam.
So you do this every year, okay?
It's not the same people every year.
Canapam guy just shows up every year. Oh, man.
Here comes Steve again. What is he? Tale of Dinosaur guy.
Hey, I don't know. It keeps happening. Steve.
I got so many toy dinosaurs lying around. Yes, as far as we know, they're different people.
Oh, man.
Ow.
Yeah.
Okay, TJ Edwards will follow that. He's going to join us next on The Score.
The nuns would have loved you.